Welcome to the podcast. John Tesh with Gib Gerard, and coming up today, all across North America, it's a great time to be a skilled trade worker.
Oh,
Gib.
Plumber,
plumber, electrician, automotive technician, a construction worker. The salaries are through the roof, and there's plenty of training available. We'll tell you all about it. Also, experts have said for years that aerobic exercise will reduce blood pressure. And now there's new research, and this is almost like the Jack LaLanne stuff of the old days, that isometric or static exercise is even more effective. And you were just doing this in the studio the other day.
Yeah, planks, wall sits, those are the moves. Yeah, for sure. We'll talk more about that.
Also, forget about counting sheep to fall asleep. Now people are taking the next step for better sleep. Actually, they're renting sheep.
No.
To hang out with them.
No. Disagree. Disagree formally. I'm excited about the story, but that's not,
really,
it can't
really
be real.
Fascinating. Also, very excited to report that we've done the first phase of the piano course. Now we got like 180 new spots available if you'd like to learn how to play Round Ball Rock. If you'd like to learn how to play a lot of my songs from the PBS specials, just go to Tesh.com. You get all the information there.
Goodnight Moon is actually the one that everybody is having the most fun learning.
Yeah, the problem with Goodnight Moon is the left hand thing. So I figured out a way to simplify it, because it took me, I mean, I wrote it, but it took me a while to figure out how to play it.
Well, you're a very good piano player, but a lot of times you do things on instinct and skill. And when you're writing, you'll have the chord ideas, and you'll have the chord play through, and then your fingers will sort of like, a little tacit descending line here, a little achappé, if you know your non-harmonic tones, here, and then next thing you know, sorry, too much music theory in my life, but that, you know, and it just kind of happens, and then you don't really ever have to think about how you wrote the song again, but when you're trying to teach it, you've had to break down everything and simplify some stuff, so it's been as much of a lesson for you as it has been for the people taking the course.
Yeah, it's interesting to explore songs that you've written years ago and think, what was I thinking of here? But also, I was shocked at how many people just wanted, they've been thinking about taking a piano lesson, learning piano their whole lives, so they don't even know where to put their hands.
Right.
You know, and I totally get that, but I had to back out and switch all the videos out.
Yeah, because it was all right, play a C here, play a D here.
Right, right.
What does that mean?
Yeah. It's like, shut up, John. Anyway, that's available at Tesh.com. Let's talk about butterflies. I've had butterflies in my younger years. I just lived with butterflies in my stomach.
Right.
Whether I walked by a girl that I wanted to talk to, or whether my report card was coming to stand in front of my dad, or whether I was, you know, playing the first school dance as a keyboard player. You know,
that's called anxiety, by the way.
Oh, that's anxiety. Yeah. We didn't even have that word in the 1950s. It was just butterfly. You got the butterflies?
Woody Allen was 50 miles away from you on an analyst's couch having the same conversation.
Yeah. What was the movie where they lost the lobster behind the duvet? Was that
that's Annie Hall, right?
Annie Hall, yeah. Nice, very good. All right, anyway, if you've experienced butterflies in the stomach, that feeling, according to the journal Clinical Psychological Science, is a really good thing. The nervous jitters means that your body is readying itself to perform at your best. They say it's because when we get that feeling, the body is sending more blood and oxygen to our brain and muscles to make us mentally sharp and better able to tackle our fears.
Sure.
So the researchers say they found you shouldn't freak out if you get the nervous sensation. You should lean into it. It's a good thing. It means you're ready.
Yeah. So we talk about this with performers who are, you know, who have accomplished everything they want to accomplish. The only reason to keep going is because they still get this feeling. Baseball players, pitchers will talk about how the reason why they signed on to do another year is they still get this tension in their stomach when it's the day before they're supposed to pitch.
Right.
And the old timers will say, yeah, when I lost that, that's when I knew it was time for me to retire. When it was just when it was just another thing, that's when I knew I didn't need to do this anymore. So if you don't have that edge, if you don't have that feeling of I need to really lean into this, then it's absolutely time to stop whatever you're doing if it's one of those kinds of performance-based things. But yeah, what you're experiencing is what our bodies were meant to experience because we felt the tingle of the presence of a saber-toothed tiger, and we didn't know if we had to climb a tree or, you know, jump into some water, run off a cliff, whatever we had to do to get away from it. All of that is your, you know, you feel that tension, and now you know you're going to have to run or do whatever. So all of your senses are heightened. This is what we love, by the way. about performing. Is you get that heightened sense of awareness right before you go on. You go out there and you get into this flow state with this hyper awareness of everything that's going on, and it makes you so much more present in the moment. It's something you can't get anywhere else. It's a little bit of a high.
Yeah. I 2 days ago, I was sitting on a folding chair in an auditorium for your kids. Your middle child's 10-year-old,
the fourth grade Japanese performance.
She has the lead in this thing. There's two fourth grades together. She gets the lead. The whole thing is in Japanese.
Yeah.
And she walks up there and knocks that thing out.
Yeah.
And I would have been carried out in a stretcher, on a stretcher after the first 30 seconds. But your whole family is like that performance wise. Is it because you grew up in a performance family? I don't know why,
but my kids seem to like that butterflies feeling. They get nervous. Like I saw my daughter in anticipation. I mean, again, it's like an hour and a half of her speaking Japanese.
It's nuts.
Full disclosure, it's not like Japanese is a second language that we speak in our household.
She had to learn everything
to do that. So, you know, it was not like natural to her. But yeah, it was like an hour and a half of her speaking Japanese in every single scene. And she definitely had that edge right up until the day before. I mean, she had a little countdown. We have a mirror in our dining room, and she took a dry erase marker, thankfully, not an actual Sharpie, and wrote, it counted down the days. You know, it's 3 days until Momotaro, 14 days until Momotaro. That's the name of the play. Yeah. And then, you know, on the day of, she was super excited to get to do it. So she definitely had that edge, but she likes that feeling. She likes that feeling. By the way, you talk about how you I know you've had stage fright and it's been debilitating at different parts of your career, but you need that edge too.
Yeah,
because on the road, let's say we're doing 14 or 15 or like 20 dates in a row, you know, we're on the road for a whole month. By about the 10th show, we all have it in our bones. It becomes easy and we start to lose that edge. And you come to everybody in the band and you go, all right, we're going to add something tonight. And we have to rehearse it and sound check. And there's something else that can come off the rails every single time. Oh, we're going to add a trombone solo to this song where we never had one before, and dance break.
Yeah, it's actually true. Yeah. So once I got therapy and got past the stage fright stuff, I became obsessed.
Yeah, you became addicted to that butterflies feeling.
Anyway, the bottom line in this is that the butterflies, these researchers believe you can use them to your advantage, basically, is what it is. I want to talk about isometric exercise because, you know, when I was, the value of it, when I was growing up and the magazines were, you know, it was like Highlights and stuff like that. Boys' Life. Yeah, there wasn't any Men's Health, Women's. It wasn't, you know, any of that stuff. You got, it's Life. There's Life Magazine and Look Magazine and Boys' Life. There were always advertisements in there for, and there were guys like holding these two handles with giant springs on them. There was an exercise thing, and they'd be, you know, the Mr. Universe would be holding this thing, Mr. Olympia, and now we've got all these machines.
Yep,
I mean, so many machines. And they're all, I mean, Cybex and all the rest of this stuff, and all and the Nautilus machines and all that.
What's the big one? The hammer.
Hammer lift. Or
hammer. Yeah.
But now, doctors have discovered that isometric, those static exercises, are incredible for avoiding a stroke and also high blood pressure. It's the type of exercise, for those of you who don't know what isometric is, it's you engage your muscles and you stay in one position without moving. So Gib is very fond of, especially lately, he's been doing, he'll tell you about the planks. So it's planks, which are basically stationary push-ups, and then wall sits, where you put your back against the wall with your knees bent, like you're sitting in a chair, and you hold that for as long as you can. There's a study in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. They went through 33 years of blood pressure data, and they did this on 16,000 people, huge study, along with their exercise choices, and they found, listen, the greatest reductions in blood pressure came from isometric exercise, including the planks and wall sits and hand grips and leg squeezes. So take us through this, Gib.
Well, so isometric just means, you know, hold your movement, right? It just means one move. So you're in one static position the entire time. You're not going, you're not doing, if you're doing a curl, you're not lifting the weight from the bottom all the way to the top. You're holding the weight halfway.
You've seen it in gymnastics and Cirque du Soleil,
right,
for sure. Yeah.
Right. And by the way, look at the musculature on the people that are able to do those kinds of exercises. Right. If you want to start, planks are a great one. That's what we were talking about before, where you're just, you basically get in a push-up position, but on your elbows, your feet on the ground, and you hold that with your booty up in the air, and you feel it in your abs clench for that whole time. And that's one of my favorite ab exercises for a number of reasons. One is it's good for your overall core strength and your ability to do every other exercise without hurting your back, because your core is strong, so you're actually not tweaking your back. You're using your core muscles as leverage as opposed to your spine. So that's good. It'll help you with injury in the long run. But also, I wear a heart rate monitor whenever I'm working out, and I can look and see what's going on with my blood, at least my heart rate. I don't have a sphygmomanometer while I'm doing it, which is a blood pressure cuff. But I can at least see how high my heart rate gets in just a minute of holding a plank. And a minute is kind of the secret sauce. If you can get to a minute and hold that and do that throughout the day, a minute here, a minute there, that has the big benefits for planking. If you can't do a minute, do what you can and build up to a minute over time. But wall sits are another great one. And I don't know exactly why this is better for you than other things. I think it has to do with the amount of time under tension and the amount of stress that your body is constantly under. Because there's these bicep curls that you and I have done. What are they called? Super sevens? Where you start and you do seven curls on each arm.
While you're holding one arm in a flex position.
One arm holds the weight up while the other arm is doing the curl, and then you switch. And that just absolutely blasts your biceps. So there's something to it. The research is there. Try a couple of these. Try a wall sit. See what happens to your glutes. Try a plank. See what happens to your abs. And then let us know.
Yeah, I've done wall sits since you and mine both taught me how to do this, which is simple, by the way. But at the airport, waiting for a plane, just grab a wall.
Well, what isometric exercises do, particularly body weight based isometric exercises, they take away any excuse you have for not getting a little bit of a workout in. And that's something that we talk about all the time, because you and I are the kind of people, if we don't have an hour to work out, we don't work out.
Yeah.
And these are the kinds of things where, you know, a minute here, a minute there, and you actually can get the health benefits of a full workout. You have to do it. Now we've eliminated the excuses.
Yeah. By the way, the other things that were in those magazines that I ordered was like a belt that went around your waist and you just wear it for a month and your fat's gone.
And also X-ray goggles.
You have a couple of those.
Sea monkeys.
A couple of those. Let's talk about what happened after COVID as far as people looking for jobs. A lot of people, as you know, have quit their jobs and said, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to find something that's a better fit. So, you know, a few times a year, LinkedIn goes through all of its data, and they have a lot from people who have jobs, changing jobs, looking for jobs, all that. They compiled a list of which jobs that are right now most in demand. So, for example, one of the fastest rising jobs indicates that the love of bread is back. It's the job of baker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with fewer people now cutting out carbohydrates, that's the thing. More people are interested in comfort eating, and so... And you're seeing this. You're seeing these specialty breads in restaurants as well. Baker, big demand.
So yeah, this is always cyclical. There was a while where everything was no sugar, and everybody had these sugar free bakeries all over. There's gluten free bakeries, and then everybody got rid of bakeries when people were doing Atkins and keto in earnest, and these bakeries went under. And now they're back big time. People are like, I want to eat. I'm life's too short. I'm going to eat bread. And so they got to rehire all those bakers. And those guys have moved on. They're stockbrokers now. And now you got to find somebody else to come and become a baker. But and the other thing that happened is during COVID is we started baking our own bread. And we go, oh, my gosh. Because you started. You're like, I can't find bread at the supermarket. How hard could it be? The ingredients are only like, you know, 15 cents. I can make my own bread. Yeah. And then you do it a couple of times. And you're like, this is really hard. I want somebody who's good at this to just make the bread for me.
Yeah.
And then, all of a sudden they come back.
We got one of those for our anniversary. We got one of those bread makers.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. The whole house smells
so good.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the food, the bread in the supermarket, like, that's not bread.
No.
This is bread.
Yeah, that bread's like 3 days old by the time it even gets to your plate. The bread that you're having out of the bread maker, fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The other hot job right now, according to LinkedIn, is mental health counselor.
Yeah.
Which also makes a lot of sense. LinkedIn says it reflects the new statistic from Harvard Medical School, which found that half of the world's population will experience a mental disorder in their lifetime.
Whoa. I think it's so many different issues. One is the fact that during the pandemic, we realized how much we rely on other people, and we felt all of the symptoms of our mental issues come out. And so a lot of us decided, hey, we got to get into therapy. I got to work on this. So the demand for that went up. The stigma has gone down largely. The other thing, because like when you were a kid, people didn't go to a counselor unless they had actual schizophrenia.
I don't even think there was a thing. Right. It was like you went to a quote, a mental institution.
Right. And so it was like schizophrenia or you're fine. Right. And now we're like,
electric shock or you can go home.
Right. And it's like, now it's like, you know, I get a little sad sometimes. I get a little stressed about things that shouldn't be stressing me out. Let me figure out why. And that's great. So the stigma's down. So the demand's up. The other thing is that telehealth has become super popular.
Yeah.
And we have apps like BetterHelp and where you can like text with a certified therapist. Well, guess what? That becomes widely popular. And then all of a sudden, the BetterHelp and their like have to hire like 50 of those people. Just for one region. I would tell you, in the area around my house, they should probably hire at least another 50. So, you know, all of a sudden there's demand, there's the desire to do it, there's the lack of stigma, doing it on telehealth, all of that adds up to a new revolution where we need more.
Well, and back in the day, you know, my father, World War II vet, you know, I know that before they even had the acronym of PTSD, he was going through a bunch of stuff. And back in the day, we didn't have Valium, lorazepam, Quaaludes, Scotch. Oh. We had
Manhattans.
But they would, you know, if you had something wrong and it really got bad, well, first of all, it's okay, just tough it out. There's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
Try harder. Or it was here, put the electrodes on your temples.
Yeah. It was one or it was either drink about it or you get shocked about it. That was it.
Oh my gosh. One more up and coming job right now, according to LinkedIn, is personal stylist. And this is why. So as normal life has come back, people need they need more than sweats, basically, right? They need more than athleisure wear, according to LinkedIn. So more stores are hiring stylists to help their customers work on their personal. So it's not just a somebody's going to check you out, meaning take your money.
Yeah.
It's somebody who is actually going to, you know, match the colors and do all that kind of stuff I need.
Yeah, well, so I'd say it's a couple of things. One is we all gained a little bit of weight, so we had to come back, and all of our clothes were out of style. We're like, if you're not a fashionista, right? If you're not somebody who's super into fashion and is unwilling to wear things that are one season old, then for the most of us, we buy shirts as we need them, we buy pants as we need them, and then our collection builds. We get rid of the stuff we're never going to wear again. In an ideal world, most of us just hold on to it, but that's how it goes. Well, with COVID, we switched to sweatpants and t-shirts, gained a little bit of weight. Everything comes back. We look at our closets. Nothing fits us anymore. Nothing is even acceptable to wear anymore. Like, who's wearing gingham? Nobody's wearing gingham. I have an entire closet full of gingham.
Gingham.
And so all of a sudden, we got to go to the store and go back to the office, and we got to buy a full wardrobe. Well, when you go to buy a full wardrobe, that's overwhelming. And all of a sudden, the idea of a personal stylist doesn't sound so bad right now. So instead of one or two pieces, you've got to buy 10. You've got to buy outfits, and you want to maximize that potential. That's where a stylist can help. And I think people have started to realize what the value is there. And plus, with online, you can do that with somebody. You can have somebody look at you and tell you what colors you should wear, what cuts you should wear. It makes sense.
Yeah, the big jobs right now, again, according to LinkedIn, Baker. And then mental health counselor and personal stylist. I have to say, you know, speaking of the personal stylist thing and what you just said, I missed an amazing investment opportunity. How could I not see that I should, in the middle of COVID, watching you bake, watching everybody, you know, cooking from home, everything, you know, drinking too much alcohol. Why didn't I see that I should invest in Spanx?
You know? Oh, yeah. I mean, we all should. I want to know how many people turned her down before she actually got, you know, the money to make that happen.
I'm sure.
Who are just kicking themselves now. Yeah, Billion-dollar company.
Exactly. We're going to talk about, we've talked before about the value of taking a shower. Even if you're not dirty, I mean, there are plenty of stories about writers, including Aaron Sorkin.
That's our favorite example.
Yeah. Of, you know, if he got stuck with a character or something and couldn't get through it, he would just stop and take a shower. So, like, I mean, he admits like 4, 5, 6 showers sometimes.
Yeah, well, look at his output. Of course he's had 4, 5, 6 showers a day for a while.
But right now what's happening is people are spending money on their showers. So this is a trend, And it's basically enhancing the shower experience. So many homeowners are enlarging their showers. They're installing spa-like upgrades. So 3 out of 4 homeowners now have incorporated premium shower features. Here are the top features. One is the rainfall shower heads.
Oh, if you never experienced that, yeah, you got to get one.
It's not new, but there are more of them being sold now. And then dual shower heads. And then thermostatic mixers. What's that?
So the old school, you have one of these, by the way. The old school way of doing the shower.
I think it's in Connie's bathroom.
There's like 3 different kinds, because we're redoing our bathroom right now, and I'm going to put one of these in. So there's the old school, which is hot water, cold water knob. And you turn one to get more hot water, right. You turn the other to get more cold water, and you find your balance. Right. Well, every time you take a shower, you got to find your ratio. And if you've lived in a house for a while, you kind of know where they have to go, but you're still, it's a still trial and error process. Then there's the other one where you turn the one knob and you find the place on the clock where it's the right temperature, and you go a half an inch in the wrong direction, it's, you know, the fires of hell, a half an inch in the other direction, and you're swimming in Antarctica. You got to find that one little sweet spot. Thermostatic is a little knob where you set the temperature, and then there's another knob where you set the water pressure. And that allows you to just turn the water off and on. And if you have your own shower, then once you know what temperature you like, every time you turn the shower on, it's going to be that temperature. Come on.
It sounds like
a lot of work. It's less work.
Listen, I know that you're redoing your house, right? And I just beg you, don't put any of these electronic systems in there.
It's not electronic.
But I'm just telling you that there's something about manual that I'm just all in on the manual, right? I love the skill of and the threat of setting it wrong, because what happens is you can set it on the hot thing and it doesn't get hot and you go a little bit too far.
Yeah,
this happens in the hotels,
and then
right?
You burn your
and
skin
you burned
off.
Your groin off.
Yeah,
you know?
You like to live on the edge.
That's what I was trying to say.
I like a little bit of convenience. All right, that's the difference between you and me.
Clinical psychologist Jennifer Tate says a good shower will relax not only your body but also your mind. We just mentioned that, leading to more mental clarity and creativity, which is why people are investing in their showers. She says a relaxed brain is more likely to give you flashes of insight. Witness what these creative people do.
Absolutely. And look, the opportunity to have that in your own home where you could have just a little oasis. I'll tell you, there are plenty of days when I could really use some time away from, I don't mean this in a negative way, but I could use some time away from my family, right? It happened the other night. I came home. I don't have the oasis bath that I'm talking about, that we're talking about here, but I have a bathtub and I have become a bath person. So I poured myself, I drew myself a bath. I locked the door and I got in and I had a moment. Look, that was a little bit of a respite for me. Yeah. It seems worth it to invest in some other elements that make that even more of an oasis, of a getaway, of a place where you can, you know, recharge. Yeah. Even for 10, 15 minutes of a shower, that's significant.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
I don't have a lot of places I can do that. I'm going to build a shower where I can.
We have much more intel to bring you on the podcast, including why are so many people now tattooing their nail beds? Have you heard about this?
I haven't. It disturbs me. Let's find out more about it.
So you're tattooing. Well, I'll explain it later, as far as I know it. Also, experts are saying forget about counting sheep to fall asleep. Now people are taking the next step for better sleep. They're actually renting a sheep to hang out with them. Like sheep aren't a flock. What are they? Just a bunch?
They're a flock. They're a flock of sheep.
Okay. Yeah. I thought that was just seagulls. Anyway, they're renting sheep
to
hang.
Shy, hush, hush. That's Kajagoogoo, isn't it? That's not.
People are renting.
And I ran.
I'll never
that's
get.
It. Ran, so that's flock of seagulls.
I'll never get through it. Oh, you remember that band? That's crazy. Anyway, people are renting sheep to hang out with them. Interesting stories coming up. But first, this. When you have a moment, please visit Tesh.com. This is where you can get access to my music and live concerts, and also find out about my new online piano course, The John Tesh Piano Method. Plus, you can join me for my weekly VIP coaching. The John Tesh VIP coaching program is an opportunity for you to get personal coaching from me in a small group environment. You get strategies plus encouragement and accountability. Plus, live weekly Zoom calls, everything you need to create the next chapter in your life. It's all waiting for you at Tesh.com. Gabe, have you heard this thing where it's a large percentage of younger people now are not, they're just foregoing college, not going.
I've seen that, or at least community college, yeah.
But trade work is huge right now. And I would say, I think it's either three or four people in my travel, in our band, Gib, they went to Berklee School of Music,
yeah,
which is really a trade school.
It's a trade school to be a professional musician.
It not only teaches you, you know, how to read music, music theory, and how to play your instrument, but also how to get a job.
Right.
A big, and a lot of times, you know, at least when I was going to college in the 70s, they weren't teaching me how to get a job.
No.
They were just giving me
how to make, you know, Navy.
I was in textile chemistry.
Here's how you make Navy wool.
I was in textile chemistry. It's a long story. You can read it in my book because it's too long for now. Anyway, so plumber, electrician, automotive technician, construction worker. These are huge right now. In fact, listen to this. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce says huge shortage of trade workers right now. A lot of these folks, our plumber just retired. We had two plumbers retire, actually. The job security, they say, will not be an issue for any people with those job titles for decades. So part of it is, since the 1950s, trade and vocational schools have been mostly ignored by high schools. We're just talking about that.
Yep.
They weren't seen as being as valuable as earning a traditional college degree. But now that a generation of older trade workers is retiring, so they have the data on this, there aren't enough workers to replace them.
No, because so many things have happened. One is, you know, you go to be a lawyer. Lawyer is a prestige job, right? Always has been. That's 7 years of school after high school, right? 7 years plus you're gonna have a few years where you're earning almost no money, and paying a huge student loan. So, okay. And again, the lawyer is an important job, but that's a lot of effort. And we're going to lose half of them to AI in the next, you know, 5-10 years. We're going to, half of those people are not going to be able to have jobs after going to school for 7 years, living, you know, living in very low means for a few years after that before they actually get paid. Or you can go, you can learn. An electrician is not going to get replaced. Also, the other thing that's happening is it's too expensive to buy a new house, so people are fixing up their houses. It's too hard to find a new car, so people are repairing their old cars and keeping them going. So automotive technicians, electricians, plumbers, all of those are necessary in order to keep society running. And there's no ChatGPT bot right now that will fix your toilet for you. If your toilet's backing up, you're not Googling anything but where to find a plumber. That's the only thing you can find.
So, listen, I'm in a Zoom coaching group, right? Coached by this guy named Stockton Walbeck, and he works for a course creator. It's people creating online courses. One of the most popular courses that he and a guy named Joe Simpson have created is an online course on how to tune an automobile.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only learn that as an apprentice, right?
That's
you don't want to just dive in there and start.
The other thing is, it used to be a lot simpler. It used to be like four things you had to worry about, and you could turn the knobs manually. Your dad could teach you. You know, you could pass that information on. Yeah. Now you need a little. You need a thing to plug in that will do a diagnostic test on your car and all that stuff.
Yeah. Have you opened up your hood lately? You can't even find the battery.
It's a computer. It's got a little plastic cover. I'll show you where yours is.
Oh my!
But the point is,
you're not going to find it in that Genesis I've got out there.
The point is that it's a lot harder to. You need someone to talk you through it. You need the computers to help you. You need somebody to help explain what all of the doodads. Every car is a computer now. We saw that when there was a chip shortage, they couldn't build cars. You're like, chip shortage, can't build cars. That makes no sense. It's because every car has a fuel injection computer, an automatic braking system computer, a computer that runs, adjusts the power differential on your rear axle. Like, all of that stuff is done by a chip now. All of it.
Unless you've got a 65 Mustang and there's no chips.
No chips. The only chips are the Lay's potato chips you dropped into your Freon center.
From the 1965. Yeah. Okay, so listen, plumber, electrician, automotive technician, construction worker, more and more, they're all waiting for you. These jobs are waiting for you. And listen, you can even get training on YouTube, by the way.
The College of YouTube should be giving out degrees.
Speaking of learning how to do stuff, you can actually learn how to be a tattoo artist on YouTube.
Go to a tattoo artist that did not learn on YouTube. Just put that out there.
I'm trying to transition here because what's happening is InStyle magazine is reporting on the latest tattoo trends, and they're very interesting. And I know that you and I both have tattoos, not like, you know, entire sleeves when we have both have tattoos.
Yeah.
And I know you
would do a sleeve.
Yeah.
I would.
You don't think your wife would dig it?
I don't think. I mean, I know I do stuff in movies, and that's like another 3 hours of makeup to get them to cover up the tattoos if I had a sleeve. Yeah.
So the first tattoo trend is semi-permanent. It's a nail bed tattoo. Getting inked on your fingernail bed. That's what makes it temporary because your nail will eventually grow out. Oh, and you end up cutting off the tattoo when you trim your nails.
Wow. How about that? That's expensive to get rid of every couple of months.
It's a conversation starter, though.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine you're on the first date and all of a sudden, and you got to get it upside down so your date can read it.
Oh, gosh. You really thought about this, apparently.
I did. Well, I've seen that movie Memento, so I know how to do that.
Oh, yeah. You could also just go get a manicure.
But they only have flowers and Disney characters.
You could get whatever you want. I tell you, there's places. I'll send you places. They can do whatever you want. You want a music staff there? They'll do it.
Okay.
You know, this is cool. I get it. I get the appeal. I feel like it would eventually grow out and look really distorted and weird. So you got to be careful what designs you get. Also, tattoos in general are painful, and you kind of have to get used to that. I feel like this is a form of torture on your nail bed.
Oh, that's
How
right.
bad
yeah,
does that sound?
That's right. I've seen that in Jack Bauer.
Yeah.
The next one is ear tattoos. So okay. Now these go around your ear or they highlight your piercings.
Okay. That also sounds painful.
It says they're usually, put your finger right by the back of your ear right now. It's really temporal. Yeah.
Yes. I've seen people.
I mean, there are people
who
get their genitals tattooed too, which I think is, yes, let's just stop right now.
Yeah. No, the people who are tattooed over their entire body. I mean, the Yakuza in Japan, that's part of their, initiation is they get tattooed all over their body.
I just want to get the newsletter you get every week. So one more tattoo trend, according to Style Magazine, is tiny landscape paintings. They provide a way to take your favorite place with you wherever you go. Like a miniature postcard on your arms. You got like the Eiffel Tower all the way up your from your wrist up.
Yeah, little kind of landscape, thing. Little skylines. I mean, if you just took a trip to New York City and you want, the skyline of the Empire State Building there, your dad worked there. I could see you getting that.
Those are the latest tattoo trends.
Or maybe you got engaged in Joshua Tree. You want a little thing there on your forearm with Joshua Tree?
Again, it's something to talk about. I always ask the wait staff, men and women, hey, I like your sleeve.
They go,
Connie's like, you don't like his sleeve.
it's a bunch of Disney characters as bandits from the 1930s.
Exactly. We've spoken many times, Gib and I have, to you folks about sleep hacks, right? And here's the most unusual and apparently very successful. Now, this started with people counting sleep. You know that whole thing where you're supposed to imagine sleep jumping over a fence, and it's been in cartoon shows and all the rest of that stuff. And you just count them on it. And by the time you get to like 100, you're supposed to be asleep. Never worked for me.
Nope.
But now research shows that, forget that, we should be interacting with sheep to improve our mental health and lower our stress. And so here's what's happening. At the University of California, Davis campus, you'll find this interesting. They brought in a flock of sheep to keep the lawns manicured and weed-free. They were not thinking about sleep. They were thinking about getting the lawn done.
Yeah.
Besides keeping the grassy areas tidy, the researchers found that students and the staff who simply walked past the sheep or studied near the sheep, their blood pressure went down and they had a lower likelihood of being stressed. I guess because people were passing out and like, what's going on? The sheep started
can't
out.
Can't imagine they smell good either, by the way.
The university now, they said, look, okay, guys, start studying. Write this stuff down. The university has published research on how livestock make people feel peaceful. The experts are saying they're introducing flocks of sheep to city centers now. And university campuses are just releasing them. They're saying they're reducing stress among people who live in urban areas.
Can you imagine Central Park? You're playing volleyball with all of your friends, all of your news friends in the 70s.
News friends.
Yeah, Stossel and those guys, right?
Yeah.
And then you look over there and you go dive for a ball, and then you land on a pile of wool because there's sheep everywhere.
I've seen it. We took your kids to this place called, what's the, Safari West.
Yeah.
In Northern California, and they just have all kinds of animals.
Sure.
And giraffes and hippos and
ibex.
Everything there.
Ibex.
Buffalo. Yeah, okay, ibex. And the one thing that they wanted to hang out with were the little cows.
Yeah.
And they would just hug the cows. Yeah. And then they had a great night's sleep. So there's something to say about this.
Well, they were also kids in the cold. They fell asleep very... anyway. Yes. Yeah, I'm sure it was the cows. That's why they were sleeping. There is something to be said about the relaxation of watching a ruminant, an animal that chews grass.
Wait a second. What?
A ruminant.
What's that?
It's animals that chew. They have the multiple stomach animals that process grass.
Oh, okay.
Right? That's they have...
You're not even holding an iPad or anything right now.
they move slowly. They chew. They walk. They chew. They walk. There's something about it. Watching them do it, it is very peaceful. I mean, just think about, you know, a bucolic, pastoral setting, and it's relaxing. There's something to that. I get it. I wouldn't have thought that it was the sheep up close and personal that was really doing it. I wouldn't have thought it was the animals. I thought it was the whole kit and caboodle. But I guess if that's the case, if it's all you need is the animal, then we're going to use this life hack. Put a bunch of those in Central Park. Put a bunch of those in Griffith Park in L.A. where the mountain lions will eat them within 10 minutes.
That's cute.
Yeah, everybody be relaxed.
Here's the quote again. Experts say introducing flocks of sheep to city centers and university campuses will help reduce stress among people who live in urban areas and college students.
Yeah.
Imagine the smell.
The smell sounds like, I mean, there's parts of the city where it can't get much worse, but... but the idea of looking out and seeing a vista of like a manicured lawn with a bunch dotted with sheep, it sounds nice. It sounds nice. I get it.
Do you remember the movie where, I'm sorry, this is way too long, but we're almost done. The movie where people who are listening to this remember, Woody Allen fell in love with a sheep? Was it him that fell? Yeah, I think his character fell in love with a sheep.
Oh, I don't remember this one.
And the guy, I can't remember. Remind us what this is. And then the guy who owned the sheep was all angry.
Well, I would imagine so. Sir, that's my sheep.
I think that's it.
That's enough. That's plenty.
That's, we want you guys to come back next time. Of course, you know we'd love to have you as a regular subscriber, so you can get notified every time we launch an episode, even if it's crazy like this one. Also, if you've always wanted to learn how to play a song on the piano or a keyboard, I'm your guy. I can teach you how to do that without
Good Night Moon.
Good Night Moon. I'll make sure that I load that in. It only takes like 3 days to teach one of these courses.
3 days is you know, it's a lot of work on your part.
It takes less time to learn it than it does to teach it, for sure. Yeah. But anyway, you can get more information at Tesh.com.
Learn directly from the maestro himself, John Tesh.
You can learn songs from all 7 of my public PBS specials.
Why do you say it with that voice?
I don't know.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
People have paid a lot of money to see you perform these songs, and now you're letting them see the ingredients and the secret sauce. It's exciting.
I wish you were there when I was marketing the course. Anyway, I think we are.
I'm literally here while we're marketing the course. Just saying.
That's it. We'll see you next time.